We're now going to fill in more details on a story we talked about at the top of the show, the ongoing rescue and recovery efforts in central China after the quake that's killed at least 19,000 people, according to Chinese authorities. Yesterday, China deployed an additional 30,000 soldiers to the parts of the country devastated by that quake. They joined the 130,000 soldiers already going town to town, looking for survivors buried under the rubble and carrying away the dead. As if that weren't a daunting enough task, they're also trying to secure several dams that were severely weakened by the 7.9 magnitude quake. NPR has a team of reporters and producers on the ground in Chengdu, the capital of Sichuan province. Brendan Banizak is an NPR producer who joins me now on the line. Hey, Brendan, so I understand you just flew into Chengdu from Beijing, right?
That's right. I came into Beijing, landed just probably minutes before the earthquake occurred. And at that point, all the flights into Chengdu and basically anything in Sichuan province was canceled at that point. So it was about another 48 hours in Beijing before I finally made it to Chengdu early yesterday.
And when you arrived, what was your impression? Could you see the devastation from the plane, or did you have to actually land and start walking around before you could measure that?
Yeah, from the plane, you couldn't really see much. And just walking around Chengdu, there's really no signs of damage that I've seen. I mean, I think just in general, there's not. I mean, I think there are probably a few loose tiles off roofs, and I seem to recall seeing one wire photo of a crack in a building. But here in the capital, while it was felt, it really didn't seem to cause much structural damage.
So as we said in the intro, there's been some reports about these dams that have been weakened. What do you know about that? Where are they and how weak are they?
I mean, there's dams all over the area. I mean, a number of rivers, and it's a fairly mountainous area. I don't know much specifically about where many of them are and the damage. I was today, however, out at a dam outside of a town called Dujunyin, and it was a dam that yesterday there were reports out that 2,000 soldiers were being sent there very quickly because there were reports of cracks within the dam, and they're going to secure it. Going out there today, myself Louisa Lim, the reporter I was there with, spoke with a person who seemed to be in charge of whatever dam analysis was going on, and he said that no, there were some cracks in the dam, but this had all been built into the structural capacity of it, and there's nothing to worry about with this particular dam. And in fact, they seemed to feel so strongly about it that the top of this dam was essentially being used as a staging area today, since the dam was pretty much the last place you could drive to before you got into sort of the mountainous regions.
A staging area for aid, rescue, and recovery efforts?
Exactly. I mean, we saw a number of groups of firemen and soldiers and police just sort of gathering there before heading up into the mountains and recovery efforts.
Brendan, have you noticed any people just kind of dropping what they're doing and pitching in and volunteering? Is it that kind of atmosphere?
Absolutely. I mean, today, on top of this dam, there was a team of, I don't know, maybe eight people or so that were just handing out water and bread to the troops there and to anyone who was coming down off the mountains. And the one person who sort of seemed to be in charge of it said that he runs, you know, a business, computer business, something like 46 employees, and he has given them 2 weeks of holiday to go out and to volunteer. And just driving up and down the streets, the highways that sort of connect Chengdu to the outlying towns, you'll see these convoys of cars going out, just sort of, they have big red banners on them with characters saying essentially aid, with the back of the car just stuffed with instant noodles and bottled water and anything. And people are really just sort of taking it upon themselves to go out and deliver these goods. I'm not quite certain where they're going or how organized it is, but people seem to really want to be out there doing something.
There are tens of thousands of people who've been left homeless by this quake. Those that have survived now face the struggles of just trying to find shelter. Have you seen any kind of refugee camps or tent cities? Where are these people living? Where are they sleeping?
Yeah, you see it everywhere. I mean, despite the fact that I said there wasn't much damage here in Chengdu, even here in Chengdu, a lot of people are sleeping outside because they're still afraid of aftershocks of another quake occurring. So they've just sort of moved outside. And in some places, in Dujunyin, for instance, there have been cases where the government has come in and essentially said that people have to vacate their homes while they determine how safe they are. And these people are just out on the streets, and it really sort of varies. I mean, in some cases, if they own a pup tent, then they're outside in a tent. Other times, it's just grabbing a tarp or plastic sheeting, whatever they can find to just sort of make a shelter to stay out of the rain. In another case in Dujunyin, the government had brought in scaffolding, essentially, and just what seemed like three full blocks, there were just scaffolding set up. And then on top of that was a striped blue and red tarp laid over it, and then each family was sort of allotted, you know, a 4-foot by 15-foot section of this to sort of set up home for the next few days. And one case of people I came across, they had, I mean, really sort of an ingenious way of using just sort of what was around you, but there's a lot of construction going on in this town, and there had been some prefab concrete tubes laid out for a sewer system, and a group of people had come across these and just decided to make it their own. So they'd sort of filled the insides of these tubes with blankets or towels or whatnot and were living out of these, and they had set up a stove in front for cooking, and they sort of had umbrellas lined up to sort of help provide a little extra shelter for any rain that was coming down.
Wow. And Brendan, finally, have you been able to take a look at any of the regional news coverage of this? I mean, have you had a TV on in passing or picked up a newspaper? Is this a front page story day in and day out, or have you been able to talk with people about this?
I have not. Actually, since I've gotten to Chengdu, it's pretty much been go, 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 and I have not had a chance to spend a lot of time with the TV on. I can tell you today when we were driving out, our driver did have the radio on, and it was the single news story that was being reported on. And there were a lot of calls on the radio as well for people to donate things, asking for things as simple as shovels and hammers and going up to first aid goods like gauze and bandages and the like.
Brendan Banaszak, an NPR producer who is on the ground in Chengdu, China, reporting the earthquake and the aftermath for NPR. Hey, Brendan, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rachel.